All right. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, how I thank you for this day. We thank you so much for the absolutely gorgeous day yesterday. And I know today is going to be a rainy day, but it is warm and comfortable and welcoming in our church today. And we just look forward to and are enjoying just a little bit different Sunday than what we're normally used to. Thank you for bringing each of these women here. And I know they will be blessed as they listen to the different women as they offer some testimony this morning. Guide our time together, Lord. We pray that you would just give us the right words. I especially pray for myself that I would not say anything that is not of you, Lord. So just guide my every utterance here, please. Be with each of these women as they leave here this morning. They'll be getting a lot of information. If they've already been to first service and they'll be in second service. So just help us to take this information, use it for your glory, Lord, and to change our hearts and minds. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Well, the structure of this session this morning is going to be just very informal, very practical. If you were in the first service, lots of information, lots of great information. And maybe, if you weren't in first service, you'll be hearing a lot of that in second service. This is going to be maybe more on the practical side, hearing from women that have been trained, as Pastor Kevin talked about, in biblical counseling, but have the added benefit of being able to use that in their daily life. We've got this this is our title, Biblical Counseling and Daily Life. And I think I'd even add the word using biblical counseling in your daily life. And each of us does that. And we're going to be sharing that with you this morning. Pastor, a lot of the things I'm going to say this morning are going to be echoing things that Pastor Kevin said, but he talked already this morning about how we are all counseling somebody already. We might not think of it as counseling, maybe think of it as helping, encouraging, guiding, excuse me, people that are struggling or suffering or just having some issues in their life. So we're all doing that. It's just a matter, though, are we counseling, encouraging, guiding biblically? And that's what we all want to do. I want to mention the ladies on our panel, and then they'll introduce themselves more and tell you a little bit about how they got involved in biblical counseling ministry. But we've got Gwendolyn Myers over here, Kayla Beeney, Ann Knobloch, Denise Ellis, and Christy Lewis. Sandy Miller was supposed to be here this morning as well, but she is having some flu symptoms, so she was very sad she could not be here. I'm sad, but we'll be keeping her in our prayers that she gets better quickly. Well, as I said, each of these women and myself are involved in our biblical counseling ministry here at church in various ways. Some are lead counselors, some are advocates. An advocate is just someone that comes alongside one of the people we're counseling. They might be, like in Sandy's case, more someone that comes alongside a counselee after the formal counseling and disciples them or goes through a book with them. But in some way, they're all involved. And we all have something in common, that we all love Jesus and we love sharing his word. We also believe, as Pastor Kevin talked about already, in the sufficiency of Scripture, which is thus just that we are sure that God's word offers everything we need to live a godly life and to help us with our problems, sufferings, struggles. And on your paper, I just thought this might be easier than having everyone open their Bibles. I've got one of my very favorite verses, 2 Peter 1:3, which says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." And in parentheses, those are my words, living a godly life, "through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." So everything we need is in this book. Whatever our problems, whatever our issues, how to live a godly life, a life that's honoring to God, is in here. And we believe that sufficiency. Also, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now that verse is very familiar, I think, I'm sure, to all of you, but it's that last phrase that I think a lot of times we miss, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that every good work, a lot of times, especially in my role at Newcastle as a coordinator of volunteer ministries, a lot of times I think I focus on that it's every good work that we can do at church in serving our God. But that encompasses really a lot more than just serving. It's that good work of your marriage or being a mom or a worker at whatever your job is. And God is going to equip you to do that. So some great verses there. Before we continue on to the testimonies of how these women use biblical counseling in their everyday life, I just wanted to mention how much being trained in biblical counseling has been life-changing for me and how I got started in biblical counseling. I do want to quickly make a plug for the Biblical Counseling Training Conference. It's something that not all of you would be able to do. Take a week and go to, Pastor Kevin mentioned, it's in West Lafayette, Indiana. So quite a distance. And who can take a week off from your kids, from your job? But I at least want to put a plug that maybe when you're an empty nester like me, you might be able to do something like that. And I wanted to tell you how that came about for me, as well as now they're offering it online. So much more available for people. And I just got mine for 2022 in the mail. So very excited that just came yesterday. It will be in February. But I have been 5 times. All these women here have been at least once, and I think most of them multiple times. But it is a week-long conference. It's called Biblical Counseling Training Conference. And if any of you have ever been to conferences for your work, maybe, a lot of times they're in Florida, Texas, somewhere warm and nice, usually at a nice resort, with free time in the afternoon. This conference is in Indiana in February, so it's typical weather that we have, cold. There is absolutely no free time. You start at 8 in the morning. You go till, these ladies I'm sure will all agree, till on an early night you'll get done at 6, and a lot of times that's because they want you back later in the evening, but usually it's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. You start on Sunday evening, you go till Friday noon. But it is, like I said, life-changing. It is the best training. It's like how I would think of going to Bible college, but for a week, and, you know, all immersed into, 5 days. Scott and I often joke, he's got a twin brother, an older brother, and a mom who all live in Florida in the winter. Of course, they invite us down, but this is where we would rather go in the winter. This is our winter vacation, and we just, like I said, love it. I wanted to tell you, though, how I first went back in 2016. Shortly after Pastor Kevin came, he'd come from Bethany, which has a very vibrant biblical counseling ministry. And so he wanted to get that started as soon as possible here at Newcastle. So he quickly started in telling everyone about the conference and inviting especially the elders, leaders, staff to go that first year. Well, at that time, and I can't remember the exact timeline, but somewhere in the months prior to him coming, I had been approached by 2 different women in our church who in their past, like some years prior, had had thoughts of suicide to the point where they were both hospitalized and had to spend quite some time in the hospital. And while they were not at that point by any means, it was not a 911 situation, they just felt that depression, that hopelessness coming back, and they were seeking basically my counsel. And that was just very weighing and heavy for me. It was a little different than someone saying, you know, help me with my children or my marriage, I'm struggling. And I just kept finding myself saying, well, I think it says somewhere in God's word. And then, of course, I would, you know, look that up and because who can know, you know, every verse in here? Or even more questionable, I would say, well, I think. And I wanted to get to a point in my life where I was confident to say, this is what the Bible says in this. And so the timing of all that was just huge for me. And like I said, then when I did go, just so life-changing. And like I said, I've gone every year since. Did want to mention Newcastle, just again, a plug for the conference. If this is something that does interest you, now live streams it over in the intersection. So you would have the opportunity to come as much as you could for that 6 days at your convenience. And then the church that offers this will give you access to all the sessions for 30 days. So a great deal. You can even do the whole thing online in the convenience of your home. So just something that would be very beneficial to all of you, I'm sure, if you were led. I did want to throw out a couple definitions here. Here you're just, a lot of you are hearing about biblical counseling for the first time, and I'm already going one step beyond and talking about using biblical counseling in everyday life. So let me just real quick give you kind of a formal definition for biblical counseling. It's ministering the word of God to believers, and only believers, because a non-believer, this is not going to make sense to them. If you would encounter a non-believer, instead of going to counseling, you would want to evangelize them and point them to Christ and his gospel message. But so this is to believers that brings about hope and change. We want that transformation that we get from God's grace and gospel for the good of the one being counseled and for the glory of God. But a more informal definition still can be used in formal counseling, but especially in what we'll be talking about today with counseling in your daily life as a mom, a wife, a neighbor, coworker, etc. A Christian, fellow Christian, or broken vessel, I mean, we're all in a work in progress, right? Coming alongside another broken vessel to share God's word with them. And of course, apply it and use that in their struggles and their life. Now, not everyone is called to be in our biblical counseling ministry. I understand that. But we all are called to make disciples and to disciple people by bringing and sharing God's truths with them. The last thing I wanted to mention before I turn over to these ladies is, if you're still maybe questioning, I can't do something like that. If God's Spirit is in you, you can. And in Ephesians 3:16, Paul prays. In fact, I'm going to read it out of here and add a little more than what I've got in my notes here. So I'll start with 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And that, ladies, is what is such a blessing and help in our lives, is to know that Spirit is in us. And if it's something God wants us to do, then he is equipping us for that. So we didn't really talk about an order, ladies. I don't know, Gwendolyn, I'm eyeing you first. Do you mind going first? We'll let you get started, and I'll let you talk to the ladies and tell them about your experience.
Well, Teresa, you're obviously taller than I am. I think I'm going to hold it, not for you guys to hear, but for the recording, and it helps me not talk with my hands so much. So if I have something to hold, you won't see my arms out here waving, at least hopefully. So, well, I was a little shocked and honored when Teresa asked if I would share a testimony about using biblical counseling in daily life. So the first thing I want to say is I am by no means a graduate of anything or have mastered something in any way, shape, or form. It's just that some of the things that I have learned over the course of really the years being here at Newcastle, putting into practice. So Teresa gave us a kind of a group to talk about. And so the all of my tips or things that I might say, I want you to keep in mind that I'm talking about a friend or a life group member. So most of my counseling, you would say, outside of the counseling room is just that friend that calls you on the phone and you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say. Or you meet for coffee and thinking you're just going to chit chat and shoot the breeze. And then they go, blah. So I'm talking about a believing friend. So that's my experience. And I highlight that because it, like Teresa said, if it was an unbelieving friend, the conversation would just look a little bit different. I'm not saying you can't say some of these same things. It just would look a little bit different. So I wanted that background for you so you know as I'm sharing these things. I feel like that's going to poke me in the eye. As I'm sharing these things, you'll understand who my audience is. And the first thing that I want to say, this has been with other ladies that have experienced pain, trial, suffering, discouragement of some type. And so just coming alongside them and sharing encouragement. And so I thought, well, I better define encouragement because I have really grown in my understanding of what encouragement means. Encouragement is more than a cheerful praise of a job well done or cheering on to hang in there, you got this. Well, there's nothing necessarily unbiblical about those things. They all have their purpose and a time when those kinds of things are needed and such. And that's kind of my nature. I love to say, good job, yay. I love to, I was a cheerleader in high school, yay, So I love to do that. But so it's not that those things are wrong, just this encouragement I'm talking about is that and then more. And so it is an urging to hold fast to your faith and to keep your heart set on the Lord. And I highlight the word urging because urging is not saying, well, what about this? Or how about you think about this? It's like, it's like kind of like a gentle pushing. It's like, come on, let's think on this. I'm really trying to help you. It's just an urging and I can't really think of anything other than, so urging has a different sense than just saying, here's something. It's really pressing into them, and holding, God's word close to them. And so it's an urging. So that's what this is. This is, I'm talking about that you're just coming alongside and you're really urging your friends, come on, let's hold fast to our faith. Let's look for God's promises. Let's see what God has here. In going to faith and some of the learning I've done, it's really changed my focus from offering advice to pointing them to God. And I'm not saying there's wrong things about offering advice. And so please don't hear me say that we should never, offer advice. But it's more about pointing them to God. So I think about it, when a friend is calling or saying something to me, they're like shining a light to me, like, here, help me. But I should be holding up the mirror that light thing goes up to God, that I'm pointing, they're coming to me, but I'm going to say, nope, I'm going to go with you this way. We have the horizontal, but we need to go vertical. So you might be saying, well, gee, how do I point my friends to God? Well, especially in the heat of the moment, that gets hard. So I'm going to share with you a few things that I've learned that have helped me when I've had friends come to me unexpectedly and I get stuck like, oh, what am I supposed to say? The first thing I would encourage you to know is you need to rest in knowing that you don't have to have all the answers. Biblical counseling doesn't mean you have to have all of the answers. And it's okay to say, I don't really know, or to say, you know what, I'd like to think about that. We don't have to have all of the answers because, dun dun, God's word has all the answers. I don't have to have them all. And there's something so beautiful in a friend coming to you and seeking, and you to say, you know, I don't know, but here I'm going to come alongside you and we're going to search it out together. And I'm going to come with you and help you find those answers. So first of all, just rest that you may not have to, you don't have to have all the answers, and you don't have to know exactly where to go in your Bible at that precise moment. The other thing is to listen for understanding. I can be very guilty of just listening and I'm thinking, okay, now what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? Oh, what am I going to say next? And I'm not really listening to understand. I'm listening to plan my own response. And when you're listening to understand and you're just pausing and maybe asking more questions or things, then you're really getting to the heart of what they need. And you will see and understand more. That way I'm not responding to something that I could respond to something and be like, oh, no, that's not what they were talking about, or that's not what they mean, or I gave them information that completely misses the point. So that was something that I had to really grow in, instead of just listening to say, oh, I got to be thinking of what kind of good advice I'm going to give them. And then that moves into the next thing that has just been really challenging for me, to remember that when I'm talking with somebody and listening to them and thinking, it comes a point in time, maybe you just need to say, what does God say about this? So when you're pointing, that's really the main thing, is just asking them. And remember, this is a believing friend, asking them, what does God say about this? What does God's word say about this? You know, what does the Bible tell us? And sometimes your friend probably already knows the answer. They might. And you just posing the question would just really stir in them to, you know, okay, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. But the other side of that then is the hard, this is where it gets hard, is they may know what they're supposed to do, but they don't want to do it. And then that's where you can really come in and have that urging to hold fast to the faith, because then that reveals to you, this is where their struggle is. They know, but they don't want to, and the struggle. So, and it just, it takes us back to the sufficiency of Scripture, that God has the answers. I don't know always where it's at, and I don't have my Bible memorized from cover to cover, but I can say to my friend, I'm not sure, but I'll help you find the answer. And then I email Pastor Kevin, or I call Sandy or somebody else and say, I don't know what to say, or help me with verses, or I think this, but is it wrong? And so, again, there's people here that will come alongside you to support you as you're supporting your friend. You know, you don't have to have it all. And then the other thing I would point out is when you're listening, be listening for phrases that you can think, what does my friend need to know most about God right now? What attribute of God are they forgetting? Because a lot of times, God has so many attributes. I cannot think on all of them in an equal amount at equal times at all times in my life. I tend to think about just a few of them about this and then a few of them about this. But sometimes I maybe need to be reminded of a certain one. And your friend may be the very same way, being reminded. Have they forgotten that God is sovereign? When they talk about being fearful and they just don't know what's going to happen next, do they need to be reminded that God is their protector, that God cares for them? Do they need to be reminded, you know, of his sovereign will? And you're probably thinking, how am I going to do that right then and there? You don't have to. It's okay to go home, hang up the phone, and then be thinking on it and go back to them and say, numerous times I've gone back and said, you know, I've been thinking on our conversation, and as you were talking, it just made me realize that maybe you need to be thinking about how much God cares for you, and then you can highlight verses that they can think on to push them in that direction. So don't think you have to know it all right now and answer it. And the last thing I would say is, you all have your own verses of hope and encouragement. I am confident every one of you has not lived a life that is absent of trial or suffering. And so we all have had trial and suffering and hurt and discouragement. What verses of hope do you go to? What verses of hope do you rely on? And if you can't think of any right now, spend this week thinking about it, because those are going to be your go-to tools when a friend comes to you. And so have them at the ready. Have them as a post-it note in your Bible, so that when a friend needs something, you can quickly go to what it is. You think, I don't always have my Bible with me. Well, save it in your phone and just have those 2-3 verses that you can just be your go-to that you can easily share. And then the next conversation, you'll be ready for more and more and more. And so, yeah, that's all I have.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Okay, so good morning. My name is Kayla Beeney. Just to start off, I want to give you a little bit of history on how I got involved in biblical counseling. I would say three and a half years ago, I had lost my father after previously losing my mother and my brother before that. And so I had suffered a lot of loss in a little under five year period of time. And so I had went to Pastor Kevin and said, I am angry. And I didn't know how I was angry, who I was angry at. I was just angry. And so he encouraged me to enter biblical counseling, and the experience that I had through biblical counseling was within 3 weeks, I knew I wanted to be involved for hopefully the rest of my life. The Holy Spirit just works so much in you and in everybody in the counseling room to expose God's truth, no matter where you're sitting at the table. So I've been the counselee before. The Holy Spirit has worked wonders with me in that chair. I've also been the advocate. Same thing. God will reveal things to you no matter where you're at in that room. I've been the lead counselor. I've been the observer. And in every single position, God will reveal things to you that you need to learn in your life or to help somebody else out when they are struggling. Teresa asked me to kind of speak on how you can use biblical counseling in your daily life to help your spouse. About two and a half years ago, my husband started a new position at his work. Right away, it was very difficult. He was really struggling with one of his coworkers, if not multiple of them. I can't get into too much detail about that, but what I can tell you is that he would come home extremely sorrowful, angry, and was having a lot of sin come out in him through the difficult times. And so I had just been through my biblical counseling experience, and I was like, we need to get in the Word. So almost every single day, I would try to find somewhere in the Bible to something that would reveal what is his sin in this. Yes, he was being sinned against, but what is his sin in this? We can't control what other people do, but we can look inside our own hearts and try to get to the root of our own problems. And so through the Word, we were able to find that his main idol was success. And one of the things I always loved about my husband is that he has a very strong work ethic. He takes his work seriously. He does not try to cheat his way out of doing anything. He always tries his best. And so that's always something I really admired about him. But then at the same time, yes, God wants us to work to the best of our ability in everything that we do. But we should not sin to get there. And so we really had to look at, what does God look at as success? And by the way, I do have his permission to speak about this. I'm not just sharing his personal information, just to let that out there. So he, of course, has been a Christian even longer than I have. So when we started looking in the Word, you know, when you ask somebody who has been a believer for so long certain questions, like, what does God look at success as for a husband, for a father, for a believer in the church? Of course, his answers came very quickly because he had been exposed to it his whole entire life. But God chose this moment for his idol of success to be revealed. And that's the amazing thing about God's word and biblical counseling, is you get to the root of the problem. And so once he discovered he had this idol, things at work didn't change much. But his attitude towards it did. And then how he was at home with his family, that did start to change. And the one thing that I remember that was so important was that, yes, he did have one or two coworkers who were trying purposefully to make his life difficult. But the important thing was, is that he should pray for them. So we would spend time every day praying for these coworkers, just asking for compassion, for their hearts to be softened. And I really think that God used that time to reveal his idol of success, because shortly after that, my husband did suffer an injury at work where he ended up getting a traumatic brain injury. This was back in February. And so when that happened, was he succeeding at work? No, he was off work for 7.5 months. So that was gone. And of course, his brain also had to heal. So thankfully, that had already been revealed before that happened, because I honestly think it would have been a lot worse if it hadn't. And so God's got a plan for everything. And so my husband just went back to work about a month ago, and it is actually worse. But the amazing thing is that he is not as stressed out as he was before, even though it's worse now. He's not, because he can rest that God has a plan. We know that God has a plan. Right now, we honestly don't have any idea what it is. So we don't know where we are going to be at in just a couple months. We don't know what his life's going to look like at that point. He's still healing. We don't know what the right move is, but we can rest that God has a plan. And we know Romans 8:28 is like my favorite verse in the whole entire Bible. It's all things work together for the good of those who love God. And it says all things. And so that just doesn't mean every good thing that happens in your life. No, it means all things. All things happen for the good of those who love God. And so the book that, the book that I want to recommend to you is Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. I actually went through that book during my biblical counseling, and I didn't need that book as much when we were going through the Word to get to his idol of success. But after his accident, that was really a book that I had plugged into. I would go through and reread all of the highlighted areas that I would have and be able to tell him, because at the time his memory wasn't great either. So it was a lot of repetition. The amazing thing is we had prayed for that one coworker in particular, before his accident, that he was having a lot of difficulties with. And when he returned, that coworker was so much softer towards him. They are now at a place of peace with one another. He is not having difficulty with this person anymore. And that is something that, even though things are hard, we look at that as such a blessing, and we can praise the Lord for that. And we don't know if that person is any closer to the Lord like we had prayed for, but we do know that something has had to have happened for her to have completely changed her demeanor and attitude towards Joe. I don't know if it was his accident or something that happened while he was gone. There's no way we can know that. But the one thing that he has really shown me since he's returned to work is that he understands now what biblical success is. It's being the godly husband, the godly father. It's being in the word, and it is being a successful person with God and in Christ. And I 100% believe that through the last 2 years, my husband and I, number one, we've grown closer to one another because of everything we've been through. And we are more in the word together now than we've ever been. And so Psalm 27 is kind of where we're at right now. At the very end, it says, wait for the Lord. So that is what we are doing. So that's it. Thank you.
Quickly.
Yes. Okay. Read fast. Good morning, everyone. I'm Ann Knoblack, and I'm so pleased that Teresa asked me to speak here with you guys. And she asked me to speak on behalf of moms. And, you know, that is not something that I had ever thought that I would be. But much to me and my husband's surprise, we became parents about 20 years ago. It was our second marriages. We had never had children before. And surprise, we got married and there came two kids. Boom, boom. So because of that, because of God's blessing, I'm here today to speak to you on behalf of moms. And I want you to know that as a mom and a believer, you are uniquely called and qualified to engage and encourage other moms who are hurting because of marital difficulties, child behavioral issues, the heartache of having adult children who don't believe, and many other issues. An example of this very thing that led me to attend Faith Conference 3 years ago, I witnessed that how I came to Newcastle was through women's Bible study. I had a dear friend who may be in this room that invited me. And so I came and I got to witness firsthand her as a leader of a women's Bible study, coming alongside another mom who may or may not be in this room, you know, wonderful people, after one of our classes when it was apparent during our conversation that she was struggling. And as a group leader, she reached out to this person, and I got to see how that worked, and it was just simply amazing to me. Coming alongside would have such a large impact, and I got to hear that person later on, after having counseling, give her witness to how that impacted her family and the people that are around her, and it was so beautiful that I was like, I want to be in on that, right? To have some impact, you know, because I know that I don't know what, I can't fix people, right? I'm one of those people that I would love to fix people and I want to make it all better, you know, like a mom, I'll fix those boo-boos, but realistically, we don't have the power to do that, but we're in touch with the person that does, right? And to be sitting in on that, whether it's in a formal counseling room or just alongside someone, is amazing, powerful, knowing that you can feel the Holy Spirit there. Like I think Kayla or Gwendolyn had said, you can feel them at work there. And it's just, you know that their life is not going to be the same, right? So I went to Faith. And if you think, I don't have time to do that, I can't do that. In 20 years, I hadn't been away from my husband, Norman. This sounds pretty sad. Yeah, I didn't have much life other than be a mom, quite frankly. And so it was the first time that I'd even been overnight. But it was sort of like, you know, sink or swim. I wanted to do this thing because I was just drawn. I was like, Norm, you're on your own, you know. And so you got the girls are old enough to do it. And it was a big growth experience for both of us. And what Teresa said is true. You're not there to enjoy the weather, for sure, because there was a snowstorm and all the Puerto Rican kids thought it was great. But, you know, and you don't have a lot of time to mess around. But I tell you what, if you love God's word and you love helping people and having an impact, it was like going in there and just being poured on. You know, it was just pouring down on you and you couldn't absorb enough information quickly enough. It was just a beautiful experience. And however you can do that. Now there's a lot of different options to get in on that, but I do recommend that because you'll learn something powerful, and it may just be that one thing that God wants you to know to help that one person that's going to be brought your way, that God wants you to have an impact on, and it's going to change your life, right? And the only thing better than hearing someone's witness to the power of God's love is to see it firsthand. Like I said, in women's Bible study, and I've seen it numerous times since then, because I have since been an observer. I've been in training to observe. I've been an advocate, and now I'm in counseling. And these are things that I honestly never, ever thought I would do. But it has stretched me, and that's what God wanted me to do. And so you just got to go with it sometimes. It's sort of like being a mom. They didn't really train you on a lot of this stuff, but you know, you're going to grow and you're going to learn whether you want to or not, right? So counseling for me has been much more gentle than being a mom, for sure, and learning stuff. God doesn't ask you to be a biblical scholar. Okay. I've had many people, when I talk about counseling, and I do because I think it is the greatest thing that I get to be a part of, they're like, oh, I don't know enough about the Bible. Well, guess what? You get to take a Bible with you. You don't have to know it. You can even have your cell phone and look it up, right? I had asked my supervising counselor, and I was like, I don't know the verse for that. She's like, Google it, Anne. Google it. I'm like, okay, I'll Google it. So, and it worked. Google knows these verses too. So, you know, technology. But the one thing that I want you to know is that I'm a firm believer that God uses those small moments in your life. It doesn't have to be a grand production of somebody saying, you know, my life's, you know, just chaotic and whatever. It's that all the time, too many times. But it's those small moments when you're sitting with a friend or sitting with someone who's never been a friend, who is in dire straits. And you don't have to have that magic verse. God will be there. God will give you, it may be a hug, right? And it doesn't matter whether you've ever gotten along with that person in their life. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will know what to do at that time. And a perfect example of this is not anything that I learned at Faith, okay? But my neighbors last week, their granddaughter attempted suicide, you know, and we'd known that she'd had difficulties, but, and it was one of those things where, you know, Kevin, we did the neighboring thing and it's like, oh, you know, that's a tough one just because there's been, it's just difficult. We try. But this is one thing where I just felt drawn. I found out what happened and I went over. And regardless of any feelings, you know, or thoughts, they were receptive because they were beyond themselves, you know. Nobody else had cared for this child, but they had brought her into their home after many times, drug abuse, just a sad situation, you know. And they were at a loss. And God led me to go over there. I didn't think about it, quite frankly. This is how I do things. I don't think about it. I just go. Just do it. You know, God'll work out the details. And, you know, I spent an hour with them. And, you know, there's a big difference between giving secular or just advice. You know, there's times, like Gwendolyn said, for that. But when you have the Word of God that you can lean on, okay, secular advice are platitudes a lot of times. It doesn't give somebody a concrete place to go to when you're at that place where you're down and you don't know what to do. Okay, you need the truth. Thank you, Jesus, that I had the truth, that when they said, oh, well, we should do this, because you're angry when somebody tries to take their life. It's just a normal thing. And instead of getting angry about that and saying, you should be better grandparents and not be angry and be more supportive, or saying, oh, it'll be okay with time, you look into the Word and said, you know, what does God say about this? Okay, is she going to go to hell if she does commit suicide? No. Okay, telling people the truth about that. Being able to point them, because I found out that one of them was baptized. I'd never known that. Here I find that out. But spending the time, and at the end of that time, we had become closer in 1 hour than when we had for 20 years. Okay. And I made her husband give me a hug, whether he wanted to or not. you know, that's just kind of how I end things. So, so God was good. He can use our trials, obviously, to bring us together. And the thing about counseling in the formal setting is that you get to see from beginning to end, you get to see someone come in that are so overwhelmed with their life circumstances, and they just don't know where to go. And then after the amount of time that they are in the Word and you guide them, you look back at that and you see how far God has brought them. And it's just such a beautiful thing how their lives have turned around because of God's word and how they can have that impact on other moms and their families. So I recommend, you know, the best thing that you can do, even if you don't do Faith Lafayette, is to be in prayer with somebody who's going through a difficult time. If they're not getting along with someone, sit down and just pray with them for the person they're not getting along with. Too many times we think about ourselves, and I pray that you have the strength to go on. The best thing you can do is to pray with them for that person. If they're having marital difficulties, pray with them for their husband, that God encourages them, that their husband understands. So that's it. Thank you so much. I appreciate being here. I do have some books that are very helpful besides the Bible, just real quick. This is a series that if you don't know your scripture verses, and as the problem that I have is knowing which scripture verse would be the best, there's a series of this. This is for counseling youth. And then there's one for women, counseling other women. And you just go what they're dealing with, and it'll take you to some really good sources. So, and then the other ones I have, Jerry Bridges is awesome. Just such a gentle soul. Caring for Children by Amy Baker. She's from Faith Lafayette. She's one of the people that present there. And then my pet project is You'll Never Stop Being a Parent, parenting your adult children, because I think that we have a lot of people, mine included, that, you know, feel very convicted that their children are not following the Lord as they had wanted, which we need to talk about because, you know, that's a counseling issue right there, what your expectations are. But anyway, you can come see us.
So I've been asked to speak about how we counsel our children. That you definitely can't do justice in 5 minutes or 4 minutes or what we're at right now. But because we're all called to disciple our kids, right? All throughout Scripture. You guys have probably already read many parenting books, a lot of you. Some of you are past that stage. But what does biblical counseling and this definition right here, where we're focusing on hope and change for the good of the one being counseled for the glory of God, how does that change how we parent? And it's significantly changed how I've parented. I have been to Faith Lafayette for several tracks, but my role actually has been more, I have been in the counseling room as an advocate and observer, but God has called me to share these truths in the ADE format, which is why we're doing When People Are Big and God Is Small with the women, why we did marriage last year, trying to bring these truths of what God's word says about our daily life to everybody is kind of where God has been calling me. And so I wanted to share with you Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." There's a whole chapter in here on that verse. If we have that standard as when we parent, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, it changes everything, right? you don't even need the secular counsel to tell you, you know, don't be too aggressive with your children, or, you know, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. So what does this look like with children? I'm in a stage of life right now where my counseling sessions are from about 11 p.m. to midnight, about every night. That is my life, honestly, at the moment. And It's not convenient. I'm very tired. But that's when they're willing to talk. And that's when I'm willing to listen. And I asked Sean real briefly, I was like, what would you say, counseling, parenting? He goes, listening. And that's been the biggest thing that I want to share with you guys. When you're in the counseling room with somebody, or it's a friend, you don't jump to conclusions. You might know the person really well, but you don't jump to conclusions, right? You listen to what they say. You ask good questions. In fact, I was talking to a lady who counsels, and she uses the term slow it down, slow the reaction down, and she'll just put a question mark in her mind. Like, what is that? Something just was said there. What is that? But I'm not going to assume. That's really hard as a parent, right? You know these kids. You've raised these kids. You know if someone's impulsive. You know if someone is fearful. And so it's very easy for you to say, I know what's going on. You need to do this. You need to change. And we forget the hope. And we forget the cross. And so that is what's changed, is to listen and be like, this is good information. I want to know what you're saying. I want to put those question marks there so that to help you see what God is doing in your life. That's hard. You have to slow it down and you have to be patient. So many times, you guys know me, I'm usually a talker, and I usually want to be like, and that's the idol in your heart, and this is what you've got to change, and here's what the scripture says, and guess what? I wouldn't like it if someone did that to me. And I don't. There's somebody up here on this panel who every other day pretty much we're counseling one another, and we don't do that. We listen, and then we give hope. So practically what this could look like is when a child is discouraged and says, I can't do it, right? And I mean, like when they see God's standard and are like, I can't, I failed again and over again. Slow it down. Think for a minute what it feels like when you felt that, right? We've all felt that, right? I can't do it. Some of our natural reaction as a parent, a really bad parent would be like, yeah, you got that right. You can't do it, right? We're all tempted. I've said it before. I've been upset with my kids, right? A real encouraging parent might say, I know you can do it. Come on. Like Gwendolyn said, the cheerleader, right? Which is the place for that. We are our kids' cheerleaders. Another parent might just be like, well, you need to try harder. We need to get a new plan. Let's put it in order. There's a place for that too. However, listen to this response. And I got this from Elise Fitzpatrick's Give Them Grace. She said, what if we responded, I know only Jesus could. He's the only one to live a perfectly holy life. And the good news is he gives his righteousness to those who believe, to you. Can we ask him for help right now? Right? I wish that was on my tongue all the time, guys. And I'm praying and God is teaching me and he's taking us through the trials of parenting to learn that, right? But that's hope. That's giving hope. Of course you can't do it. None of us can do it. And I want you to grow up and be mature and do everything correctly and perfectly. But guess what? You won't. I won't. But God, but Jesus has. And when we give them that hope, that's where we're using biblical counseling principles in our parenting that will change everything. So that's all I got. I hope that's enough.
So near the end, I feel bad that we don't have another half hour. It'd be fun if we could just go into this next session, but I want you all, of course, to hear Ben Holman. It'll be excellent. Denise, can you give the gals just a one-minute synopsis before we close in prayer? And
yes. Okay. Not much of a talker, so I'll do well at that. I'm Denise Ellis. Just a little bit of my background with biblical counseling. I had an attitude about it. And because I grew up in a Christian home, I knew scripture. My dad was a pastor. And so I knew the way to live. And when I was even asked about going into biblical counseling, I kind of had the rolled eyes attitude. Okay, whatever. It was for my husband and I. We were really struggling. And the very first session, Mike Hansen shared Ephesians 6:20. And we know, I'm not going to quote it, because I'll say it wrong. I've heard this verse many, many times, and it just, I kind of rolled my eyes when I first heard it. Yeah, I know. But I went into counseling thinking my husband needed to do a lot of changing. And when Mike Hansen read this verse, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think, that is mind-boggling. According to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Anyways, so what happened when he read that verse, and I'm like, yeah, I know that. And then the word, even above what we think, because I thought my husband and I were done in our marriage. And the Lord started working in my heart, and he changed me immensely. And I wanted to tell other women about it. And it wasn't about what I knew about Scripture. It was about applying it and living it. And I've been asked about mentoring, and I've been able to mentor women in different backgrounds. One was a Christian all her life, another lady a new Christian. And I would challenge you, again, as ladies have said, it's not about being a scholar. It's about just knowing and loving the Lord and sharing Scripture. And God will use what you've been through, or even maybe what you've just read that morning with many different people. I've seen Scripture change women's lives as it, excuse me, has changed mine. And so I want to challenge you with that. I have not been to a conference. I went and watched it on the screen last year because of COVID. But it is awesome. And biblical counseling, it's just about Scripture and living for the Lord.
Thank you. That was just an excellent challenge there at the end. And to be the cheerleader that I wasn't in high school, like Gwendolyn, a cheerleader for God's word. Let me just close with two things. Still might be overwhelmed with the thought of going to faith, going to the intersection building for the live stream, or doing it on your own. Two things you can take away today. The absolute best devotional I have ever found, used multiple times. You can tell how much I've used it. I have bought close to 100 books and given it away. Paul Tripp, who is a biblical counselor and a pastor, New Morning Mercies. Excellent. It would be like going to faith daily. And then the other thing, just to grow in reading the Bible, let me just put this up here so you can Google it. It will tell you exactly how to start, but it's called Bible Recap. It's reading the Bible in a year. Took me a year and a half, in chronological order. So helps put a life in the Bible in order for you and to understand it. There's a 6 to 8 minute recap afterwards that's so helpful with the historical, cultural, just putting things in perspective, especially for a mind like mine, that it's hard to maybe understand all the parts of the Bible. I fell in love with the Old Testament. Immediately, the day after I finished it, I started over again. So I expect the rest of my life to continue reading the Bible daily. But thank you so much for coming, ladies. This was so fun. Enjoy the next hour. Thanks. Oh, should I close in prayer? Let me thank the Lord. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your goodness, that you have saved each of us, but you didn't leave us on earth alone. You've given us your Holy Spirit and your word to guide us and lead us. And we beg you for that, Lord, to continue each moment of the day to give us your wisdom and your spirit. We ask all this in your name. Amen.